D-Mace, Vingen, and Donick, 102.5, 106.3. The Game, Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingen here with you. We await Jonathan Hutton from Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow. He will join us momentarily. We'll talk all sorts of football with Hutton, as we do every week. But as we wait for Hutton, Derek, one thing I was really impressed by, and we talked about this on Monday, one thing I was really impressed by was Brian Callahan's coaching against the Texans. I thought he called a really good game. I thought he outcoached D'Amico Ryans, which is not an easy thing to do. We saw last season that D'Amico Ryans is one of the young, bright minds in the NFL. I thought Callahan out-schemed him. And, you know, we talked about the run-pass balance. 50-50. 33 runs, 33 passes. And I'm wondering what you think the Titans can do to build off of that performance, and specifically Brian Callahan, what he can do to build off of his performance on Sunday.
I think what you got to do is what you did against Houston, but try to do it in more of a covert way. Because Washington, they watched the film last week at what you did to try to help your tackles not get pressure put upon them. So what is Washington's counter to what Tennessee did last week, what Callahan was able to do? The most impressive part, beside them coming up with the scheme up front to give Will Levis enough time to get the ball down the field, is his design of plays. It seemed like he stayed ahead of schedule, and some of that had to do with them being able to run the ball effectively. But when you start to look at all these offensive coordinators around the league and you start to earmark the really good ones, you know, I think the greatest play caller is Andy Reid. What does Andy Reid? He gets into a rhythm very quickly. And when you get into that rhythm very quickly, now you can stay ahead of plays. And it seemed like that is what Brian Callahan was able to do. He felt some trust in Will, and he allowed Will him to stay, you know, two or three steps ahead.
Jonathan Hutton has joined us from Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow. Hutton, let's talk about the meaning of the win this past Sunday in Houston. We know the importance of that city to the Adams family. We know we saw Amy Adams Strunk in the locker room after the game. Jeffrey Simmons said she had tears in her eyes after the game. I know this season a lot has gone wrong. How much goodwill do you think Brian Callahan, Rand Carthon, Chad Brinker, they bought themselves by winning that specific game in that specific city?
Well, I think, we know what the win over the Texans means in Houston. You had Bob McNair's daughter saying some things last week. Like, there's a rivalry there, I'm sure, internally. There's always going to be the rivalry between the Adams family and the city. Beyond that, the goodwill of winning this game, it all of a sudden, the temperature, it's not nearly peaking at a feverish level. And, you know, you buy yourself some, you know, I won't say like time. I mean, they have to finish strong here just to show some, you know, that you're headed in the right direction. But you do get you buy yourself a breather, you know, some oxygen. And you do it on a week where you weren't supposed to go down there and win. Houston's saying that you know, this is the worst loss that they've had in a long time. Since C.J. Stroud was in the league, they say it's the worst loss. And meanwhile, the Titans, they overcome some things that would have just crippled them. I mean, they throw a pick six. They have the three turnovers. They have eight sacks. They give up eight sacks. But through all that, the way they finished that game with the pass rush has been overlooked. And I think the four sacks by the Titans and when they came at those perfect moments were more important and more impactful on the game than the eight sacks by Houston.
When we look at Will Levis's performance since he returned from injury, we were looking at some of the fancy stats. Mike Herndon of PaulKuharsky.com looked at the DVOA of those defenses, some of the top defenses in the league he was playing over his first three games back into the lineup. Now he's about to enter a softer part of the schedule, playing defenses that are a bit more forgiving in terms of giving up plays. Is the runway there for Will Levis to continue to build the progress that we have seen glimpses of since he returned from injury?
Yeah, sure it is. You know, I commend Levis for what he's done. I want to see more. We saw some bad moments as well. And considering that I'm hearing discussion about this being his best performance, I mean, I like the way he overcame some bad moments and helped that team win. I mean, he played winning football late. He did a great job overcoming the turnover to rebound and lead his team to go get points. I mean, we haven't seen the Titans put up points the way they did in the fashion that they did. We're expecting to watch them fade away fast after a good opening drive. It'd be disappointed on 17 points, but that was not the case in Houston. And it stands out because it was the first game since week one where the Titans offense scored two touchdowns in the first half. And Levis followed up a strong opening drive. He had the hot hand. After the opening drive, he faced a very heavy blitz on the first touchdown. He converts the fourth down. He has the touchdown to NWI. And I bring up the pressure because he's been sacked 20 times over the last 3 weeks. That's five more than any quarterback in the NFL over that time frame. He's still showing progress, improvement within the offense, signs of consistency. And look, I is he on path? I mean, if he continues to gradually improve and stack performances together, sure. But it's hard if we're looking at the overall product of the season. He needs to finish strong. But again, he's doing it at the right time. He's taking advantage of his moment right now. And moving forward, he should have some more opportunities to put up some numbers against the Washington defense.
Yeah, that's the way I see it, Hutt. I'm not so much concerned about the wins or the losses, even though it would be good for them to get on some type of roll as the season comes to an end. I'm just looking at how Will Levis incrementally get better. Is he taking steps forward? Doesn't have to be giant step forwards, but is he taking steps forward? And it seems like the last 2 weeks heading into this game versus the Commanders, that's indeed what he's doing. Now, the both didn't equal to, you know, one out of the two equal to a win, but I think in both, he played not losing football. Take away the pick six, I get it, but beside that pick six, I think he's played not losing football.
Yeah, but I do think the wins matter, though, Mace, from his perspective. Because
from Will's perspective, yes, I understand. But I'm saying as far as evaluation of the quarterback.
Sure, oh, sure.
Yeah.
Yep. And, you know, he felt like the performance against the Chargers was a better overall performance among these three games. He points to that, even though that was a losing effort, right? But again, it's you. If you're able to overcome the mistakes and lead your team to some scoring drives and win the game and out-duel C.J. Stroud, he certainly did that. That's, you know, hats off to him. But I'm totally right there with you. The overall body of work hasn't met where we've seen him play recently. And if we're going to point out the positives, there were some negatives there too. Mm-hmm. But here's also a point to make. I didn't see the getting in and out of the huddle. I thought Callahan was really good on Sunday. You know, getting the play calls in. You didn't see those timeouts where they just couldn't get situated. Only six penalties compared to what we saw a week ago. And meanwhile, the Texans had 11. So the small things, not everything went well. Special teams is a disaster. We know that. The Titans defense gave up a drive after they scored, and they needed a stop, and they couldn't get one. I mean, that's been the storyline of the season. But we haven't seen Levis overcome the huge error. And in this case, we did. And I felt like the organizationally within the game, I thought the offense was good at that. That's also something we haven't seen on a consistent basis. Now I want to see them stack it, right? That's the real sign of progress, and it would be the sign that Callahan is doing his job too in the development of the quarterback.
Now, what are you seeing from the defense? Because we said at the beginning of the season, this team's not getting any turnovers. They're barely getting any sacks, and then all of a sudden you have a two-turnover game by Hooker, and then all of a sudden now you start getting these turnovers in bunches again to the quarterback more. It seems like, and do you see it this way, it seems like they're starting to figure out, or Denard is starting to figure out, you know, what he has on defense and trying to play to their strengths instead of, you know, taking his defense and running it no matter what.
Think about the secondary that they played, that they put on the field. Didn't have a starter out there. And the defense, I've criticized this defense for not sacking the quarterback or forcing big turnovers. They did both on Sunday. The lack of pressure was even more amplified given the problems that they had in the secondary. They had to disrupt C.J. Stroud. He was going to carve them up. And they were going after that secondary early in the game. That was their game plan, especially when Amani Hooker wakes up sick. Plenty of backups, but not up front on the defensive line. That's not where the backups are. So they had to pressure the quarterback. They did that. They didn't do that early in the game, but it was disruptive. And I thought, look, this goes without saying, but it needs to be mentioned. If Jeffrey Simmons busts his ass the way he's been doing in recent weeks, they're going to see that pay off late in games. He's the best player on the field if he wants to be. And we've seen that, right? I mean, I think the last, what, 4 or 5 weeks, he's turned it up. And he was able to get to Stroud on that final Houston possession. They set up Landry to force a safety on Stroud. The pass rush finally showed production in a flurry. And we should also mention Tavondre Sweat, the duo there. Let's see them also rise to the occasion on the final stretch run of the season, much like we're expecting Will Levis to do that and prove it.
Right, and you're hoping to see an Arden Key or a Howard Lane, some of the other guys who get good matchups because those two guys are doing their thing. That's what you hoped you would see before the season. If you can see
Landry,
more of that.
Right?
No question.
Landry's been known to finish seasons strong, like with an uptick. He's turned it up whenever he's been healthy. He's turned it up in the month of December. So let's see if he can take advantage of that.
Yeah. Regardless of the record, you want to feel good about the direction of where it's going on offense and defense. All right, so let's talk about another facet of just that. Since the DeAndre Hopkins trade, I think one thing that you are seeing, and this reminds you, like, let's take the most recent powerful offense that we can think of the Titans had, the peak of the offense with Arthur Smith.
2020.
Yes, and so you had a clear number one, A.J. Brown. You had a clear number two. He wasn't anything great, but he was a solid number two in Corey Davis. Mm-hmm. You had a legit threat in Jonnu Smith as a tight end who could catch and run. You knew exactly where he was going to get the ball, what they were going to do with him, how he was going to go about it. You had good role definition. I'm not saying this is 2020, but I am seeing a little more definition of roles. Now you know where Ridley's going to be. You're seeing where he wants the ball. I think that's making Will Levis's job easier. And D-Mace talked about this a lot the other day. Nick Westbrook-Ikhine is carving out a role now in the post DeAndre Hopkins. I'm hoping that leads to good things.
You know, to me, Mace, I'm going to get your thoughts on something in a moment that I know you brought up, and I'm going to go a layer deeper on it if you guys don't mind. But let me start with this. It starts with Ridley. Ridley changed his approach to practice, the way he's going about studying for the game. He mentioned all this. It was right after Levis was going to sit out. It was after the Miami game and after the Colts game. It was right when Mason Rudolph took over for a handful of games. And I took that like, they're actually throwing the football to him. He's, you know, he's productive with Mason Rudolph. They've got to get that going with Levis. We never saw that in camp with the continuity. We didn't see it early in the season. We're seeing that now. We're seeing a connection build in that way. And if Ridley's going to be the guy who's going to be doubled, which he was on the Okonkwo touchdown, that leads to other role players being able to step up like we saw in the 2020 season. And then they also have a threat in the backfield, much like that season as well. They're not nearly close to the numbers that 2020 offense put up. And, Willie, I know where you're going with it. But you are defining the roles and having guys actually make plays when their number is called. And defining the roles without DeAndre Hopkins, who was the favorite target of Will Levis. Mace, why is this addition by subtraction here? I don't understand how you get rid of DeAndre Hopkins and it actually improves the passing game.
It's all about a young quarterback. If this was a veteran quarterback, like a Mason Rudolph. That if Mason Rudolph was a much better quarterback, he was a bona fide number one quarterback, but he's a veteran guy. Veteran guys, they don't care about who get the ball. They just want to throw it to an open guy. Now, we may start off with our number one, but, man, if you ain't open, I'm coming off you very quickly, and I'm going to everybody else. I think Will Levis is, I'm not going to say his problem, but when you have a guy like D-Hop and you have Ridley, you a young guy really don't, because he's trying to please everybody, when you should just be pleasing the organization and the team. You're trying to win games. That's what you're trying to do. And I think Will Levis was caught in this, man, if D-Hop doesn't get the ball, I got to force it to him. If Ridley doesn't get the ball, you know, two series, I got to force it to him on a third series. And when you put a young quarterback in that predicament, he's not going to play the way he needs to play. Why? Because he's thinking about appeasing these guys when he should be thinking about just moving the ball down the field. Whoever gets the ball, you get it. Defenses will dictate who gets the ball unless it's a critical down, third down, or a critical moment in the game where you need to get it to your number one guy. I think Will Levis was just in this dilemma. Who do I throw it to? And you can't put a young quarterback in that type of situation.
Well, and on top of that, he was coming off of the injury, the time away, and then they really backed down the passing game, right?
Yeah.
And we're seeing more confidence between the head coach and his quarterback now, and that's also opened up things.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, you can look at CJ Stroud for it. Look at CJ Stroud for instance. It was probably good for Diggs that Nico went down for a few games, because now there's a defined role. Diggs becomes the number one. We don't have to go through this. Who am I going to throw the ball to? I can get to build a rapport with him while Nico's out. So when Nico comes back, now I've built up a rapport with him, and I got my number one back. Now it's like I will allow the defense to dictate who I throw it to, and everybody will be satisfied. Why? Because Diggs made plays. Nico makes plays. So whoever we throw it to, the guy is going to make a play. And then you got Tank Dell there as well. So when you have a young quarterback like that, you got to make sure that he's doing what's best for the team and not necessarily what's best for the individual. And I think C.J. Stroud learned that very quickly. I need to do what's best for the team rather than the individual. And it seems like that's what Will Levis is doing now, what he's learning now. I need to do what's best for the team and not individual players.
Yeah, get rid of the football, too, on the sacks.
Exactly,
right?
Yes. Like
that, yeah, that's the next step with that, yeah, to your point. And there's no rhythm if you're taking those sacks.
Mm-hmm. Hunt, real quick, give us 60 seconds on Washington. I think this is a really interesting team to be playing at this time of the season, coming off of their biggest win, because you have a chance to spoil a team that's struggling a little bit. We know Washington's history. They haven't had a lot of good teams in the last, I don't know, 30 years. So everybody's excited, but they've shown some cracks in the armor. I think this will tell us a lot about the direction of the Titans.
I mean, they were 7-2, they're now 7-5. And you mentioned the loss to Dallas. I mean, one of the worst teams in the league right there. The playoffs are realistic for the Commanders, but Arizona is right there. They've won 4 of their last 6 games, I believe. Now they're coming. Arizona lost last week too, but they're nearby, where the Commanders are trying to stay in the playoffs with 6 games to play. The rookie quarterback is spectacular this year, but all of a sudden, it's Bo Nix and not Jaden Daniels who is looking like the rookie of the year, which is also surprising, given the state of things. Look, it comes down to the Titans' pass rush again and whether or not they can disrupt the rookie the same way they disrupted C.J. Stroud. And if they do that, he's not going to be able to pick them apart. If they don't, Washington can put up some points. Can they kick extra points and field goals? I don't know.
Jonathan Hutton from Hot Mike with Hutton Withrow joining us as he does every Wednesday. Hutton, great stuff. I hope you and your family have a wonderful Thanksgiving.
Yeah, happy Thanksgiving, guys, and to everyone there at 102.5 and all the great listeners as well.
Yes, happy Thanksgiving to Hutton. Happy Thanksgiving to all of you. We will take it to the bank coming up next. We usually do that on Friday, but our program will not be on the air on Friday, so we'll take it to the bank. I also have a homework assignment over the long weekend for Derek Mason. And I will share that with him. Coming up next, Willie Dunnick, Derek Mason, Adam Bingham, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.